you know, it's old Chassidus Shavuot, they say, Yom Kippurim Kippurim. And a person can reach Madregas. A person can reach Madregas on Yom Kippur, hopefully as high as it reaches on Purim. In other words, that Yom Kippurim Kippurim, that Yom Kippur hopefully has some kind of resemblance to Purim. And, you know, the obvious question is that the way most of us lead our lives, Yom Kippur seems that much more holy than Purim. And therefore, what's pshat that Yom Kippur, if you're lucky, has some kind of resemblance to Purim? And I'd like to express a few ideas in this week's parasha, and perhaps we can get that idea clear. The parasha in Parashas Truma has the introduction to many of the kelim in the Mishkan. And just have to, as an introduction only, it's got to be very clear that there's no way we can understand really the reason behind the kelim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to put kelim in the Mishkan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the measurements and the materials and the halachas within each one. There's no way we can understand fully the ideas behind it. We can get ramozim, and as we go through the parasha, there are several ramozim that the Chazal bring down. Obviously, teach us growth, because that's what the Torah is all about. So let's see in Perek Chof Hei, Posik Yud and Posik Yud Aleph. This is the first of the kelim. The kli is an orin. Va'aso orin asay shittim, which means the orin asay shittim amasayim vechetzi orkoi, and it gives the measurements. The next posik says in Posik Yud Aleph, v'tzepisa oisoi zohav tohir, and you should cover it with pure gold. Mibayis umibachutz titzapena, from inside and outside you should cover it. Vasisa olav ze zov soviv, and you should put a golden crown around it. Now, as you know, the oroin, which held the luchis inside, the luchis and shiver luchis were in the oroin, represent the tamidah chachamim, represent Torah. From here we learn, mibayis machutz titzapena, that this is actually referring to the Talmud Chacham. And the Gemara says, "Kol Talmud Chacham, she'ein toichei kabari ein Talmud Chacham." We learn from the Orein that just like the Orein has gold inside and out, so too every Talmud Chacham is going to have gold inside and out. It's going to be toichei kabari. His inside is reflected by his outside. He's not, you know, do as you say and don't do as I do. He is a Talmud Chacham through and through, a Talmud Chacham. And therefore, kol Talmud Chacham, she'ein toichei kabari ein Talmud Chacham. Just like the Orein is gold inside and out, so to Talmud Chacham is going to be gold inside and out. Obvious question. The Orin was not gold inside and out. The Pasuk says over here, v'tzepisa oisa zohav tohim b'bayisum b'chutz titzapenu. Rashi brings down already, shleisha aronis osu b'tzalel. B'tzalel made over here three separate boxes. Beishal zohav v'echo shal eitz. Two out of gold, and one out of wood. And what happened was, you'd have the inside box had a wooden box placed inside that, and the outside box, they had the outside box as gold. You place inside that big outside box a smaller box of wood, and inside that smallest box of wood, i.e. the third box, would actually be a smaller box would lie inside the wood box, and that would cover the wood box that you wouldn't see the wood. Therefore, you have really three boxes: the outside gold, the middle one that was wood, and the very inner one that was made out of gold. If so, the Poshup Pshat is, I mean, you have to ask Poshup Pshat. The Gemara is learning from over here that a Talmud Chacham has got to be Teichei Kabari. He's got to be inside and out, pure, pure, pure. Here, we have the biggest illusion. We have here something looking like gold, and in the middle you have wood. This is a complete example of exactly not a Teichei Kabari. Teichei Kabari should be gold all the way through. Here we have a wooden box that is covered up by gold. You cannot see from the inside nor the outside that it's got wood inside. And it got wood inside, you're supposed to learn from there. Talmud Chacham's got to be pure. On the contrary, if it has a wooden box, it's totally not Teichei Kabari. So the Manal from Gates of Blazer Khan says that this. He says that the limud is not from the way the Orin is made. You're right. The way the Orin is made with the wood in the middle contradicts the whole concept of Teichei Kabari. What we learn from a Talmud Chacham, going to be Teichei Kabari, is the way we call, the title that we give the Orin. The Apostle calls it, Va'asa Orin Atzei Shittim. you should make an ore made out of cedar wood. Now the amount of cedar wood inside this contraption called the oroin was extremely minimal. You had pure gold inside and outside. A little box in the middle was wood. And still, we called it an oroin atzei shittim. We didn't call it oroin of zav. We called it an oroin of atzei shittim. You know why? Because that little bit of wood that was not fully sincere, it was not pure gold all the way through, we don't call it pure gold. We call it as it is. We call it on the lowest common denominator of that oroin. And we call it an oroin atzei shittim. And that teaches us, a Talmud Chacham was not Teicha Kabari. A Talmud Chacham was not pure all the way through. Don't call him a Talmud Chacham. Don't call him a Talmud Chacham. Call him what he is, an atzei shittim. There is a huge amount of stress put on the element of a person being real. A person seeing himself of who he is. A person seeing other people of who they really are. A person of seeing surroundings what they really are. And this is this week's parasha. You know, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin of Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, Nekiyei Hadas Shebi Yerushalayim Loi Hoya Nichnosim Nisoid. The Nekiyei Hadas, those people who are clean, those people who are pure in Yerushalayim, will not go and eat by a meal, B'suda Ela Im Ken Yoidim, unless they knew Mi Meisev Imohim, who sat was eating by the meal with them. Gemara says in Sanhedrin, all knows Gemara, Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, right? So what's Peshat? They would not sit down by Suda until they knew who was sitting with them. Says Rashi, Shegenai hu l'Talmud Chacham, it's a genai for Talmud Chacham, Leishol Eitzel Amaratzim v'Suda. It's a genai for Talmud Chacham to sit with Amaratzim by Suda. And therefore, until, according to this, Rashi is explaining that until they knew that they were sitting with Allah Talmud Chacham at Suda at a meal, they wouldn't just randomly sit down by a table because there could be Amaratzim there, and it's not befitting for them to share a table or conversation with the Amoraites. And therefore, they first had to know they were sitting in Talmid HaChachamim, and then they came to the Suda. If that's the case, yeah, the Achronim ask, the Gemara should say, Nekiyei Hadas not come to Suda until they knew that those people sitting with them were Talmid HaChachamim. Yeah, it should say, Nekiyei Hadas Shishan Lohu Nichnasan Suda B'Suda Ela Im Ken Yoidim Sheyeshvei Mohem Talmid HaChachamim. That Talmid HaChachamim sat with them. What does it mean? Ela Im Ken Yoidim Mi Meisiv Mohem, who's sitting with them? Just see, they wouldn't sit there unless they knew some of the Chachamim. So yesterday was a Yotzeit or a Boruchel Megerlitz. Boruchel Megerlitz was the son of the Divrei Chaim Mitzanz. The Yotzeit yesterday. And he said, Lule de Mr. Fina wants to be Chilik with Rashi. That's not Pshat in the Gemara. What the Gemara is saying over there is that at Talmid HaChachamim were not makbid dafka to sit with Talmid HaChachamim at Asuda. That doesn't really matter whether Talmid HaChachamim or not. That doesn't make that much difference to them. What was important to them was they wanted to know who it was who was sitting with them. Even if they are Amaratzim, they should know that they're Amaratzim. That doesn't matter. As long as I know who I'm sitting with. If I know guys are Amoritz, I'll treat him like an Amoritz. I'll make sure that I'm insulated. I'll make sure I'm not influenced by his dais. But what they're worried about was somebody who seems from the outside as a moral, as a Talmud Chacham, as a person who they could open up themselves to listening to him, and this person is, you know, far from it, that is what they're worried about, that could be mushba on them. So, Ela Im Ken Yoidim Meisiv Imohim means, who am I sitting by the table with? If it's Amaratzim, fine, I don't mind Amaratzim, I can deal with them, I know who they are. You know, I know what business I have to deal with. But if there are Talmid Chachamim who pretend to be Amaratzim, that's where the danger is. Mabayis umichuz tzapeno means if it's coated with a little bit of wood in the middle, then don't call a person a Talmud Chacham because he isn't. That person is aron atzei shittim. He is for his lowest common denominator. This week's Haftorah we find the same thought. This week's Haftorah we find that Shlomo HaMelech, beginning of the Haftorah, by Hashem nosan chochma l'Shlomo. Hashem gave wisdom to Shlomo. Kasha debaloi, like he said to him, Vayhi shalom ben Chiram ben Shlomo, and there was peace between Chiram and Shlomo, Vayichrusu brish nehem, and they cut a covenant between them. So the Mefarshim ask, what connection is there between Shlomo HaMelech having Chochma and the fact that he made a bris with Chiram? What's the connection? Markeshe. So on that they say, I think it's the Beis Pinchas answers, that the only way Shlomo HaMelech can write a bris with Hiram, can sign a bris with Hiram, who was certainly not on the same levels as Shlomo HaMelech, far from it, was only because Hashem nosan chochma to Shlomo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave chochma to Shlomo, and he understood with whom he is sitting by the table with. He knew who to be careful from. He knew who Hiram was. They would not be influenced. And therefore, only once Hashem gave him chochma, and he was able to decipher what kind of individual he's dealing with, could Shlomo HaMelech make a peace with Hiram, not before. So therefore, the first lesson on this week's parasha is the element of Toichi Kibari, of a person cannot be considered a Talmud Chacham unless he is pure all the way through. Talmud Chacham is not somebody who knows a lot of Torah. A Talmud Chacham is somebody who is a Toichi Kibari, his insides and his outsides. His actions reflect who he really is from the inside. And if he's not that, then he's an Atzi Shittim. Not only that, not only does a person have to be careful how he judges other people, he has to be very careful how he judges events. How he sees different things happening. If you look in Perek Chof Vov, Pasuk Tev Zayin, the Pasuk says, V'asisa es ha-kroshim na-mishkon. And you should make ha-kroshim, the kroshim, with a hey idea, the kroshim na-mishkon, atse shittim oimdim, atse shittim that standing. What does it mean, ha-kroshim? Says Rashi, Hakroshim. Hakroshim means the definitive kroshim. So he says, Ma'oisom ha'oimdim umyuchodim lekach, from those that were prepared for these kroshim all those years back. So Rashi brings a little story. Yaakov Avinu nota arozim b'mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu planted arozim b'mitzrayim. Some Pshatim say he brought it from Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Yaakov Avinu nota arozim b'mitzrayim. He planted arozim b'mitzrayim. Ukushemeis, and when he died, Tzivu l'bonov, he commanded his sons, lahaloisom imohem kushayetsum b'mitzrayim, to schlep them out when they leave Mitzrayim, take these huge trees with you. V'omar lehem, and he said to them, sh'osil ha-kodesh baruch hu letzavis oisom lasus mishkan b'midbar matzei shittim. Ha-kodesh baruch hu will command you in the future to build a mishkan for matzei shittim. Re'u, see, shiyu muzmonim b'yedchem, that these should be prepared in your hands. Hu shiyasid ha-babli b'piut shaloi, tas matin, Rashi brings a piut. Okay? So the Chazal tell us that Yaakov Avinu planted these arozim in Mitzrayim, and he said to them, the time will come when you have to leave Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will command you to build a Mishkan, use these arozim I'm planting right now for the sake of the Mishkan. Chazal asked, Rebbe Chizkuni, but asked different kashas on this. But again, Rebbe Lezer Khan asks, what does it mean, Shiyu mezumonim b'yedchem, let it be prepared in your hands. See these arozim that are planted, they should be prepared in your hands. What does it mean prepared in your hands? What, the kroshim were prepared in their hands? Kroshim, yeah, you had to take them, you had to take these trees, you had to cut them down, you had to smooth them down, you had to cut them into shape. Yeah, there's a huge amount of work. What does it mean when it says, make a mishkan as a shittim, ru'u shiyim, let these be muzignonim yadchem, prepared in your hands. The kroshim weren't prepared. Again, the posuk is saying, v'asisa es ha-kroshim, make the kroshim. What are the kroshim? The kroshim, or what Yaakov Avinu planted, they should be prepared in their hands. Yaakov Avinu did not prepare kroshim. Yaakov Avinu did not prepare beams. Yaakov Avinu prepared planted trees. That's all he prepared. So Yaakov Avinu did not prepare ha-kroshim. It should say, v'asisa es ha-kroshim, a krosh in the Mishkan, ha-atzei shittim, the atzei shittim. That's what he prepared. He never prepared kroshim, he prepared atzei shittim. So what should they prepare in their hands? The trees. What's the saying over here? Make sure that these kroshim are prepared in their hands. Aren't kroshim the trees? The Torah says like this, that Yaakov Avinu wanted to make sure that it did not miss the wood for the trees. Quite literally. In other words, Klal Yisrael are going to be living generations in Mitzrayim. They're going to be suffering persecution through generations. You know, their grandfathers and great-grandfathers never saw anything but Mitzrayim. What's going to keep up the hope? What's going to keep up the spirit? What's going to keep up that they should not be meyuash, they should not give up hope? what they're going to do is, on one, you know, they may have 5 minutes to take off work from the slavery, and they'll see this beautiful lush forest. And they'll ask the father, you know, who planted this middle of Goshen? Who planted this forest? Nothing going on here. It's a concrete jungle. It's a Jewish, you know, it's a from neighborhood here. Yeah, what's it doing? Trees growing here. That's not usual. And he'll answer, Yaakov Avinu planted these trees. Really? Why? And he'll tell them, because Yaakov Avinu told us, one day at a time we're going to leave Mitzrayim, and we're going to have to build a Mishkan, and these trees will be used as a Mishkan. That is hope. That is seeing in front of your eyes, Be'ezus Hashem, there's a future. That these trees are going to be used for, but Be'ezus Hashem, going to be used for the Mishkan. Ah, you don't see Kroshim, you see trees. Yaakov Avinu tried to teach them, don't look at what things are holding right now. Don't look at Golus the way it is. Don't look at day-to-day events as being the final analysis of what things are happening. Take a tree, take a forest, look at the forest and don't see the trees. See the crushing behind it. See that this element of truth runs to the extent that these trees will actually create crushing. Vasisa es a crushing the Mishkan. Make the crushing Mishkan, said Rashi. She muzumonim beyedchem. Let, as far as you're concerned, these are ready prepared crushing. When you see the trees in Mitzrayim, they're prepared to give you a lesson, to teach you that Be'ezus Hashem will be a future. This parasha is teaching us, don't look at what's happening right now. Look at the future. You know, the Madregos HaOdom says, brings a beautiful moshel. Madregos HaOdom, the altar from Nevaduk, brings a beautiful moshel. And the moshel is powerful. You think about this more than after the shiur. Think about it. It's a very powerful moshel. He says, a moshel mod of a doima. He says, there are two people went to visit a furniture factory. One is a chacham, one is a wise man, one is a tippish. And obviously when you're dealing with wood, there's a huge amount of waste. Now you take, you're taking a table, making a table from some wood, then you've got to cut down all the pieces that are not fitting for the wood, you've got to shave it down, and there's extra pieces of wood, and there's sawdust, and there's a lot of shavings, and there's a lot of stuff going on. And these two people, this chacham and a tippish, are observing what's going on. And the chacham sees from plain pieces of wood, from trees that are cut down, from slabs of wood, further down the line of the assembly line. It's incredible. You see a beautiful piece of furniture, beautiful coffee table, a table, a chairs, a bookcase. Unbelievable piece of wood. You got this beautiful table, and he's very, very impressed. The tipesh, the whole day he's seen this wood being chopped off, you know, and all these little pieces of wood all being chopped off. And he sees at night they take all these pieces of wood that they've been working on the whole day. They've been producing this sawdust the whole day, and all the pieces of wood they've been chopping off and cutting away, they collect them all together, and at night they take a big fire and they get rid of all this wood. They burn all this wood. The whole day they've been working on this sawdust, the whole day they've been working this piece of wood, and they just burn it. Such a shame, such an avla, you know. All this wood, you know, they burn the wood they've been working on the whole day. That's a moshel. The nimshel is on this poshut. Now, what do we see in our own little life? Do we see the furniture that comes out after all the paint, or do we just see the paint? You know, if you go today, you know, go to Bnei Brak, you see today, it's a huge city. Incredible. Unbelievable. I mean, it's like four cities in one city. It's unbelievable. But how did it start? The Ponovitch Shirov, Zeichet Tzadik Kodesh Shivrocha, he came over from Ponovitch, from Lithuania. And he lost a lot of his family. And he came during the Second World War. He was during the Second World War, he was in Eretz Yisrael. And he came to Bnei Brak. Bnei Brak then was a couple of streets. There's nothing there, absolutely nothing there. He bought a hill, he negotiated land, I'm not sure, with the Halpern brothers. And he said that I am, as Hashem, going to build a yeshiva here. Rommel was on the doorstep there at Israel. Rommel was about to come into Palestine and annihilate all the Jews like the Nazis had successfully done all the way through Europe. And the Ponovitch Rov stood up on the Evan Hapino, on the inauguration of the opening of the building of the yeshiva, and he said to the group of people standing there with him, that in this place, in this hill, hundreds of people are going to be sitting learning Torah day and night. Rabbi, so you've got to understand that people Nebuch thought that Aponovichrov had lost it. The Nebuch thought he had lost it. Rommel is a few days away from Palestine. Yeah, so it's a dusty piece of land over here, and he's going to build a yeshiva for hundreds of yeshiva bochrim. They really felt sorry for him. And even people who gave money at the time was just to take away Nebuch, this man who totally was out of touch with reality, give him a bit of, humour him a little bit in order to let him run with his insanity. But nobody took him seriously. What the Maisa happened, we have to look today. I mean, Baruch Hashem, we have a bustling Olam HaTorah. And the whole Bnei Brak was built around this yeshiva, which today is an incredible Mokum Torah. Right? How did he see this when everyone else saw everything, you know, all the doom and the gloom? How did he see this reality? What did he see? He didn't see the trees. He saw the Kroshim. He went to the Chofetz Chaim. And the Chofetz Chaim gave an avuah years before the Holocaust that European Jewry is going to be wiped out. Because of all the intermarriage, or because of the assimilation, is going to be wiped out. So Aponovichrov said to him, and what's going to be? So the Chofetz Chaim said to him, a pasuk from Avadia, well, Baharatzion tia plate of Kodesh. The Haratzion, Eretz Yisrael, will be a plate, it will be a place of refuge. You can go there, everything will be fine there. And the Aponovichrov lived his life with this Navur in his ears, and he went to Eretz Yisrael, and he started off a yeshiva. He said, if European Jewry is falling apart, and they're being killed, we can see the Navur taking place. We can see how right the Chofetz Chaim was, and therefore, if that is true, then Eretz Yisrael is going to be the plater, and therefore there'll be Bochum, and therefore got to build a yeshiva for them. He saw world events completely differently to the way the person in the street saw it. This is a koyach of not just seeing the world the way it is, to see the depth of what's going on, and to see the wood of the kroshim. To see that, well, the trees now are going to be, Be'ezer Hashem, real kroshim. To see the kroshim at your hand. That is a gadlus of a person not just looking on the surface, but looking below the surface. Furthermore, on this same mahalach, later on in the few psukim later, it says, Vasisa esa kroshim na mishkon. You should make the kroshim. The kroshim were these two angels that stood, forms of a young child, a boy and a girl, facing each other. And the pasuk says, it's earlier on by the Oran. It says, "Vasisa shnei kruvim, you should make two kruvim zahav." And it says, "For a kruvim poros sein kanafayim lamala, they should stretch their kanafayim upwards." And they should be facing each other. Okay? So the two kruvim were actually facing each other. The Gemara asks that in Divra Hayomim it says by Shlomo HaMelech, when he made the base of Mikdosh, it says, Kanfia kruvim, Shlomo, ubo oindim araglim upneim labais. Then Shlomo HaMelech built the base of Mikdosh. He put the kruvim in, and they were actually facing the walls. Which means they're not facing each other, they're facing back to each other. Okay? So the Gemara asks, why is it the pasuk over here says they're facing towards each other? And why does Shlomo HaMelech facing against each other? The whole, there's a Rishonim and Achronim talk about this. But basically, the Gemara says in Bava Basra Daf Sadi Tes, the Gemara says, Loi kasha, kam bizman shal oisrin soinu shal mokoim, kam bizman shal ein oisrin soinu shal mokoim, which means, when Klal Yisrael were doing what Kadosh Baruch Hu told them to do, they were actually were facing each other. Yeah? But when they were not doing what Kadosh Baruch Hu told them to do, they were facing against each other. In other words, a sign of love of what Kadosh Baruch Hu was when the Kruvim were facing each other. The Rishonim ask, the Rashba and the Ritva ask, it says in Eichel, Shebashas Chorban HaBayis, Keshenichnesur HaRishonim HaHeichel, when the Rishonim came into the Heichel, they found the kruvim that they were standing facing each other. And they took out the kruvim and made fun of the kruvim. He said, look at this, they're embracing each other. Which comes out clearly that at the time of the Churban, there was absolute no oisim ritzayin shel mokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly was unhappy with what the Klal Yisrael were doing. And still we see they were facing each other. So how does that fit with the Gemara that says that they only face each other when they're oisim mitzvah nishul makom? Okay, that's a kasha the Rishonim ask. So the Klausenberger Rebbe, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha, answered. This is the answer. Now let's get the background to this answer. The Klausenberger Rebbe was married and he had 11 children in sons in Klausenberg, right where he lived. And they were all killed in front of him. 11 sons were killed. His wife and his 11 children were killed. He went through most terrible atrocities in the concentration camp. You cannot imagine what Soros, the Nazis singled him out for incredible punishment. And he lived through the Holocaust, and he was machazik other people, and eventually he came here to Eretz Yisrael, he went to America as well, and he built up a chassidus again over here. You go to Tzanz in Netanya, you go to Tzanz in Yerushalayim, yeah, and he built up neighborhoods, he built up an empire of chassidus again, single-handedly. Completely broken, we expect to be a broken man. And like a lion, he built everything up again. An incredible man. I have a picture. He's my hero. I have a picture of him over my desk up in the office. That is the Klausenberger Rebbe. From nothing, from losing everything, he had the power to restart from fresh and to begin a new dynasty. An incredible man. How did he answer the kasha of at the time of the Churban, they were facing each other? How was that possible? So he answered, and this answer is Emes L'Misha Omroi. He said that at the time of the Churban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking Klal Yisrael and destroying his base of Mikdosh. And he was destroying Klal Yisrael. Many of the Yidden said, what's going to be? You know, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing that to us, how can it be Rabbeinu Shalom? Where is God in the Holocaust? Many people said that. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take his own base of Mikdosh and burn it, where is God during the Holocaust? But he said, that is not the way to look at it. The way to look at it is, in the Holocaust, when families were destroyed, when my own 11 sons were killed, how is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved me? How is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed 6 million people to die and not me? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me? Why did he save me? And they saw the Hashkocha Pratis of how on a daily basis are able to survive in the death camps, and they said, this is Rabbeinu Shleilam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saving me for a purpose. And that purpose is, I'm going to be'ez Hashem use this purpose to create a new world. The Klausenberger Rebbe was in America fundraising for the hospital, the Lanyado Hospital. And when the first child, it was really open at that stage, when the first child was born in the hospital, they connected there's a live hookup, yeah, to America, and you heard the first child cry in the hospital. And he said, finally I have revenge on Hitler. I promised Rabbeinu Shleilam, you saved me, and I promised you that all the children that geschochten, that were slaughtered in the Holocaust, I will, Be'ez Hashem, bring back Yiddish Kinderlach. I will bring back children to be born in the Jewish hospital. Just save me, Rabbeinu Shleilam. And that love that I saw the Rabbeinu Shleilam had towards me for saving my life, the Rabbeinu Shleilam reciprocated, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu loves me as well. In other words, to the Klausenberger Rebbe, that Klal Yisrael saw at the time of the Churban how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fulfilling his prophecy, how he's killing Klal Yisrael in order to save them, to save Yiddishkeit. And they were so inspired by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's din, and they're so inspired how HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved them, and that's why he's doing din. Therefore, they loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu back, and that tshuva made HaKadosh Baruch Hu be back to Oisim Ritzayin Shel Mokim. At that moment, there are Oisim Ritzayin Shel Mokim. The tshuva of the Holocaust brought them back to tshuva, and therefore they're doing Oisim Ritzayin Shel Mokim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed how he was moichel them, and he was put there, they were Ipneim Ishel Achiv. The Klausenberger Rebbe was able to say that. In the darkest of the Holocaust, when everyone who didn't have this spark of the ability to see the reality behind events said, where was Hashem during the Holocaust? The Klausenberger Rebbe saw Dafka there, the Rabbeinu Shleilam during the Holocaust. And Dafka there, he came closer to him than many other people get in generations. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu reciprocated in those love of Pneim Ishal Ochiv. The Koichus of this week's parasha is number one, not to see a human being by the way he looks. To view a person, to understand a person, Al Destakim Beskanskan El Bamashi Yeshboi. Don't look at the beard. Look at who the real person is. Don't judge him by his hat or by his couple. Judge him by who he really is. If you have to judge him at all. Sometimes you do, because you don't want to be influenced by the person. But get the know who the real person is. And this is, unless he's a Toichel Kabari, call him a Orin Atzei Shittin, because he's not a Zohov yet, he's not a Talmud Chacham yet. So too, by events, don't see the trees. Don't see what Yaakov Avinu prepared as trees. See the crushing within the trees. See that there are real preparation for the future. See the events, what they really are. See the events like Aponovich Sharov did not see the world is falling apart. He saw a potential to build a new beginning. And even in the darkest of times, is able to see during a time of a churban, to see that each one is facing each other, like the Klosenberger Rebbe says. I just want to finish off with another Vortmer, my Rebbe, Reb Chaim Kaufman, says. He says, you know, the story wants a basis role. There's a Batchen. A Batchen. A Batchen is a Spieler, a comedian, a Chassidish comedian, was doing the standing on Tish, literally on the table, in front of the basis role on Purim. Very talented, he was singing Grammar, and he was copying the basis role, in front of the basis role. He was mimicking the basis role. And after seeing a few minutes of this, the basis role burst into tears. This wasn't common. And the Batchen realized he stepped over the boundary here. And he went to the basis role and said, Rebbe, Zayim Moichel, please be Moichel me, please forgive me, I didn't mean in any way to offend you. He said, you haven't offended me at all. You haven't offended me at all. He said, why is the Rebbe crying? He said, I see how well you're mimicking the basis role. Sometimes I wonder if the basis role is mimicking the basis role. Maybe I'm not who I really am. The Gemara says, anyone who dresses like a Talmud Chacham dresses, not really a Talmud Chacham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not allow him, does not want him anywhere close. This is more above Basta Sadiches. A person's got to know who they really are. The Kotsky used to say, Im ani ani, vata ata, if I am myself and you yourself, then ani ani vata ata, then I myself and you yourself. Avol, im ani ata vata ani, if I am you and you are me, then ani lo ani vata avlo ata, then neither I am myself and you are yourself. You have to know who you are. You have to know really who you are, and therefore what Rodriguez you have to work on. Where do you learn that from? In this week's parasha, it talks about the making of the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. The building of the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. V'asis es Mizbeach Atzei Shittim, Chomesh Amos Orech, V'chomesh Amos Rechav. Okay, we talk about the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. And he says that you should put Nechoshes on it, Fisle Michba, Nechoshes, etc. Yeah, everything should be Nechoshes. The piece of Ois Nechoshes, cover it in Nechoshes. Now, do you remember anyone where exactly we put Nechoshes onto the Mizbeach later on in the Torah? Anyone remember that? Where later on in the Torah did we put on Nechoshes onto the Mizbeach?
The fire pans.
Good, very good. The fire pans of Klerach's Edo. The 250 men, yeah, brought up Klerach, and obviously the plan failed. And what happened was, they took those frying pans and covered it on Tzipisa. They covered it on the Mizbeach. The pasuk says, "Bemidbar Yudzayin." Dalad and Hay. No, later on it says that Eliezer. Okay, can't find the pasuk here. But it says Eliezer took it and he made it on the Mizbech as a Zecher on the Mizbech. It took the frying pans that were made out of copper and he hammered it onto the Mizbech as a Zecher, as a remembrance. So the Mefarshim ask, primarily the Chizkuni asks, one second. The Mizbeach was made out of Nechoshes, made out of copper. What kind of sign is it if you take copper and hammer it onto copper? It's the same color, it's the same form. What kind of zecher is it? What kind of sign was it that Klal Yisrael has seen for later generations, a terrible thing that Adas Klerach did? What sign is there? So the Chizkuni answers, big chiddush, that in a pasuk he seems to say that what they did was that the Mizbeach Adomo was made from a form. It was like a mold. Yeah, they took a form of Nechoshes and filled it up with afar, with mud or dust or sand, whatever it was, all the way to the top as it traveled from place to place. Yeah, and they stood on that piece, on that top layer of sand or whatever it was, right? Later on, by the Das Kleirach, what they did was they hammered on the pans, not on the sides, but on top of the Mizbeach. They made a roof of the Mizbeach that was not there beforehand. And that is what they covered with the pans. So they took those frying pans and made a roof that was not there before. So that was a Zecher. So my Rebbe Reb Chaim asks, what Zecher is it? Why does that represent the whole conflict between Moshe Rabbeinu and Adas Kairach? They should make a roof on the Mizbeach. So he says a roof represents a cap, the highest level you can reach. What did they say? Kol ha'om kulam kadoshim. We're all the same over here. Moshe Rabbeinu, your Madrega, our Madrega. Look at us. Look at us. You can't tell a difference between Kairach and Moshe Rabbeinu. Both walked around, dressed the same, with the same clothes. Kulam kadoshim, we're all the same. Umadua tisnasu, why do you make yourself greater? And these people felt that their Veda, their growth was exactly the same way as Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to be growing, and we're the same. And they believed that, and they killed themselves over that. They actually fell into it, and they brought up Keteris when they went Rotti, and Moshe Rabbeinu took those Keteris, took the frying pans, and put a roof on the Mizbeach to show us that Madregas are limited. You put a roof to your Madrega. Know where you are at that stage. Put a gag onto the Madrega. Don't jump up higher than you are right now. Put a roof to it. Don't learn Kabbalah before you've learned Gemara. Don't learn Rishonim before you've learned the Gemara. Don't become a greater tzaddik and do, you know, Hispoidus and do, before you mamish keeping the Torah, Chol Torah, Kula. Make sure you know where you're holding. Make sure what your Madrega is. You know, some people going in shamelessness, not even davening Shemona Esra with Kavana B'chlai, not even doing the Ikka Mitzvah. Know which Madrega you're holding, just because he's doing his Avodah his way. He's at 1,000 levels above you. Work where you are, put a cap on it. And if they would have known that, to work on their Madrega, they would never have taken their frying pans in the first place, and therefore it would never have fallen into where they were. So they took those frying pans and made a roof. This is this week's parasha. The parasha is talking about seeing reality, looking properly who you are, looking properly where other people are. A Talmud Chacham is not Teichet Kabbara, is not a Talmud Chacham. Events, the way they seem, are not real events. You can have a Holocaust that can really be a beginning of a new future. You can have people who believe that they are who they are, and they aren't. They're nowhere near holding. You've got to see who you really are. It was once, I told you this, that somebody, two chassidim of the Kotzko were once talking to each other, and they said, during the middle of a Sefiras HaEmor, where are we holding? Wir Haltman, where are we holding? Was it Tverish or Behoid, or Soish or Tverish, or all the different things? So the Kotzko walks past and says, Wir Haltman, where are we holding? Schmutz or Schmutz. Dirt of the dirt. Yeah? It's not very encouraging. Yeah? But a person's got to know who they are. We asked beforehand, why is Yom Kippurim Kippurim? Why is it that Yom Kippur is a... If we're lucky, Yom Kippur will be like Purim. Purim is an element of who we are. Because Yom Kippur, we can stand in shul, and we can daven, and we can cry. And we can really believe we are holy. We can really believe that we are doing the same tshuva as a Rav is doing his tshuva. I'm crying and he's crying. He's banging al-chet and I'm banging al-chet. We don't really see who we really are. We fool ourselves. To an extent. We try to do cheshbon nefesh. We try to be honest with ourselves. But there's a certain element of falseness. There's certain elements that we're missing. On Purim, we see who we really are. When a person's drunk, bekisli, bekisli, bekasli. You can test a person by bekisli, threatening his money. Bekisli, after he has a drink. And bekasli, when he gets angry. On Purim, it's all about bekisli. It's all about seeing who you really are. When you are real with yourself on Purim, you can come out with a new reality. Chas v'chlim, I mean, don't let yourself go and then you know how bad you really are. What it means is, a person sometimes on Purim, you know, wine, yisamach, wine makes you happy. People cry. Why do people cry? Because they're not, it's the first time they're really relating with themselves. It's the first time they really come to know themselves. It's not necessarily crying out of sadness. It's crying out of pity that they don't know themselves the rest of the year. They don't know what they should really be working on. And therefore, that is Purim. the Purim is based on these parshas of the Avodah, the parshas of the Kelim, and Be'ez Hashem, we should taka use it in the correct way.